You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blog.radio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How are you this Friday morning?
I'm great.
Good. And I missed out last week, so sorry I missed. You guys did a great job. I listened to the show. I hope everybody else did because I listened. It was a great show last week, episode 196. But here we are, episode 197, ready to go again. Devin, how are you?
I'm tired. I'm not going to lie. I'm very, very tired. But I'm ready. I think I'm ready to do this.
Okay. You sure about that? Are we going to have like a snoring mid show that we're going to hear from your end of the, you know?
No, absolutely. I am a professional. I am a professional. We are professionals. I am offended. John, change the subject, would you? Let's talk right about something else.
Let's go into the Jazz. And what news do we have this week? I guess the news would be that the fight for the 15th spot on the roster is underway. The Jazz have signed 14, and it looked like the 15th spot was going to go to, well, let me backtrack a bit. We know they have 13. 14 and 15 seem to be up for grabs. I thought the 14th spot was William Howard's, but now it sounds like William Howard, Maya Oney, and Stanton Kidd are all jockeying for those two positions, while Brantley and JWF have been given two-way contracts. So there's that. But everything else seems to be set.
Okay. So interestingly enough, though, I was reading some tweets last night and having a conversation with one of our fine listeners who loves to talk transactions and money, and that's Brett. He shared the Bobby Marks tweet with me where he said the Jazz were able to create $1.8 million in room when they signed Gerald Brantley and JWF to a two-way deal. He says each player replaced, but with no cap hit, the $898K incomplete roster hold that the Jazz were being charged for. And I believe that had to do with the Conley deal. So interestingly enough, I mean, I wasn't sure what all that meant. But, you know, I guess it means that, you know, I mean, Brett was telling me it means that when you draft a player, he has a cap tie that says if you sign him, his contract starts at the amount. But he says by signing those two-way contracts, it opened up the some money to announce all the signings now. Basically, Bobby Marks also included that now the Jazz can sign Moutier and Jeff Green without issue.
Yeah.
Because lost in all of this is Moutier and Jeff Green have not signed a deal with the Jazz yet.
I thought by the time we'd record that would have been done, but yes, that's true. The signings will happen. I don't know what else they need to maneuver for.
But right.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Well, and you know, it has to do with the tricky money in this situation and the deals that they've already signed. You know, Conley taken up a pretty large chunk of your money, and then so did Bogdanovich, and so you have to try and clear space, and you have to try and sign these. I mean, the way I understand it, two-way contracts end up being cheap and act really cheap on your cap, which allow you to be able to make those other signings. So it sounds to me like those two-way contracts, it's not so much beneficial if you're the player. I mean, it is because it allows you to be on the roster but play on the G League team, but it's really beneficial for the team doing the signings because they're able to save a little money in the process because not the entire salary goes towards them, does it? On a two-way deal?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right.
So I guess I can understand it. With all the big deals, you know, that they signed with the trades and stuff, they have to make sure there's enough space there before they sign guys like Green and Moutier. So I'm with you. I'm anticipating hearing that will be completed in the next, you know, next couple of days, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you, you know, just as a side note, have you had a chance to watch some of the interviews that Aaron Falk did with some of our new additions with Mike Conley and then Bojan Bogdanovic and, you know, their, you know, feelings about being here and everything?
I haven't watched Falk stuff.
You'll need to. He's posted it on YouTube, on the Jazz YouTube channel. And, you know, he just sits down with him in the practice facility. He also posted last week where he took Conley on a tour of the practice facility, and you got to see firsthand Conley's reaction to it. It was kind of cool to listen to some of the conversations that he had on there. I'm trying to think other Jazz news. Interesting tidbit, soundbite, I should say, from the CJ McCollum podcast. His co-host I follow on Twitter, he shared the soundbite where he talked about the Jazz signings and how good he thinks the Jazz are going to be. So this is coming from one of their peers, CJ McCollum up in Portland, about what he thinks the Jazz signings mean and how good he thinks the team's going to be.
Cool.
So some different soundbites to go out and listen to. McCollum's podcast is worth listening to, guys. I love his show. I don't get to listen to it as often as I'd like, but when I do, he's got some great bites on there to listen to. So anybody want to check it out? But he did. He talked recently on one of his episodes about the Jazz. So lots of little video clips and things being thrown out there. Donovan Mitchell at Summer League jumped on the jump with Rachel Nichols. I'm thinking of his name on Twitter, Darth Aminu, but you know who I'm talking about. And then Vince Carter, and they were talking about Donovan and asked him all sorts of questions, and he answered them. It was a great interview as well. So, Jazz fans, if you haven't heard any of this stuff, you need to go out and check it out. I can't think of anything else on the Jazz, though. Anything else you want to throw in there, Devin? I can't think of anything else.
No, I'm going to save mine for quick hits.
Okay. All right, John, unless there's anything else, let's jump ahead to some NBA news and notes.
Yeah, all the sports betting sites are putting up their odds for over under for next year. I thought it would be fun to go ahead and do that today as we're getting into
I'm good
slower
with that
part of the season.
I believe Vegas was one of them, right? Vegas is the big one. Didn't they put theirs out?
Yeah, Vegas has theirs out, and I'm sure they'll change a lot as we go through late summer and fall. But let's just go ahead and do our over-unders now on what they are doing.
Okay.
And then we'll see how we wind up. So I'm going to go alphabetical. We'll do East first and then West first.
Okay.
Okay. So let's put this up. Make sure I'm getting it in the right order. Okay. Atlanta, 32.5.
Ooh. Why do they have to do that?
Yeah,
that's how it
right
works.
In the right spot.
That's almost right where I think they will be, but I'll give them an over by a half a game. I'll say over.
Over, okay. They still have a lot of young guys. They're still collecting a lot of older players, but they had more wins than I thought they were going to last year. And last year they finished at 29. I'll go over as well.
As will I.
Hate okay. It when Vegas throws in these numbers like this. Gosh.
Right. I know. Okay. Next is the Boston Celtics. Last year, they finished with 49 wins. The over-under this year is 48.5. What do you think?
I'm going to say under.
Man, that's in a good spot, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Who did they add as big?
Cantor.
Cantor.
No, there's your under. Someone else?
I'm going to go under.
I thought they added another big, but
well, give me a sec. I'll pull up their roster.
No, it's fine.
Come on, Devin. It's the Cantor effect. I'm going under.
You've already sold it. I'll go under, not by much, but under.
Yeah, Enes Kanter, Daniel Theis, nobody. Yeah. All right, you went under.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go under on that one. Brooklyn, 45.5. They lost Russell. They signed Kyrie. They do have Durant, although he probably won't play this season.
You said, what was it? 40. What'd you say?
45.5.
45.5. I'm gonna go under. I'm not sure they get there yet. And without Durant, I'm really not convinced. Kyrie's good for wins. I just don't know that. Yeah, I'm gonna say under.
See, and I'm gonna go under as well, because until Kyrie shows me that he can lead a team and have them be very successful, you know what I mean?
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know that this team has the depth and the talent, honestly, that Boston had. So his chemistry is going to make a big difference. So I'll go under, and hopefully he proves me wrong. I'd like to see Brooklyn do well.
I'm going to go over because they didn't have LeVert for a good chunk of their season. They're going to have him back for the full season. And I do think Irving's an upgrade over Russell. And just to make sure, let's see, last year they only had 42 wins. So,
You going to rethink that one?
I'm putting my neck out on that one. No, I'll stay over.
Okay.
Charlotte, 24.5. Just an awful offseason by them.
I'm going to go under. I don't think they're going to be that good. They might be one of the top five bad teams in the league, or top two even.
You can say bottom.
Or bottom two. Yeah, there you go. Bottom feeders, whatever. But yes, I think bottom two is where they're going to be at.
I'll go under as well.
Yeah, me too. All right, Chicago, 30.5.
Ooh. Under.
I'm trying to think of who they added. Do you know offhand?
Well, they lost.
Well, they did the midseason for Porter. They signed Satoransky over from Washington. They seem to be giving up on the Chris Dunn experiment.
And they lost.
They drafted Kobe
Lopez.
White. Yeah, they did lose Lopez. And they only had, how many wins did they have last year? They only had 22 wins last year.
Oh, you scared me away from it. Under.
Yeah, I'm going under too. All right, Cleveland, 24.5.
Holy crap. That's not fair either, because I just got through saying what I did about Charlotte, and then you throw Cleveland out there. I'm going to say under.
Under. The thing I try to remember with Cleveland is Kevin Love only played 4 games last year.
Yep.
This year he'll either play more, or they will trade him for other pieces that will play. So I have a dilemma with this one.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to
Kevin Love or not, they're just not good. They're not.
Yeah, they're not.
But that's a low number. That's a low bar. Let's be honest.
I'll go under. Yeah, I'll stick with under. Okay, Detroit, 36.5.
Over.
Over.
Yeah, I'll go over too. Indiana, 48.5.
Ooh. Ooh. Dang it, John. These are good numbers. This one's a good one. I'm going to, why can't I just stand on this? I'm going to go over maybe a half a game. I say they get to 49.
I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under too.
I mean, if Oladipo's healthy, I know they lost Bogdanovich, but they have the potential to be very good again.
Yeah, they replaced Bogdanovich with Brogdon, and they did get TJ Warren for nothing. I don't know. I'm trying to remember right. I don't think Oladipo is going to be ready at the beginning of the season, although he isn't expected to be out very long. But I'll just go ahead and go under because the East is so weak this year. Okay, Miami, 42.5. They
over.
Got Jimmy Butler.
Over. I'm putting him at 44.
I'm going to go under by a game or two.
I'm going to go over. I think they finished right at 43. Okay, Milwaukee, 56.5.
Last year they won 60. Or 60 plus. I can't remember the exact number. But
was 60.
I'm going to go over because I think they're still going to get up there again.
Yeah, last year the Bucks were the only team to reach 60 games. 56.5. They did lose Brogdon, although the Easton General is weaker. I'm going to go over.
Well, and it's weaker, too, because they also – Toronto's just not that good. I mean, they're good, but not as good as they were. Philly's going to get better. Philly's the one challenger. I think that top spot is going to be between Philly and Milwaukee, probably.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Did we all go? I'm gonna go over with you guys. I wanted to say under, but I'm going to trust you two.
All right. Knicks, 26.5.
I'm giving it the old go for it for Tony Jones. I'm saying over.
You're nuts.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to be that much better, but I'll go over for a half a game or game, right? I mean, why not?
I don't even know what you're thinking. I love Tony. I love Tony. Don't get me wrong, but this is easy money. Under. What are they going to do? Under. Play a five power forward lineup?
Fine.
No.
I'm changing it. You make a case. I'll go under. I'll go under.
You chicken.
You said money.
You chicken. He's scared. He's scared to stand up for what he believes in.
Oh, hush. Okay. Moving on.
All right. Orlando. They finally made the playoffs last year. This year, they're at 41.5.
Ugh, over 42.
They're pretty much just running it back, really.
Yeah, over a 42.
And teams that run it back should be able to hit the ground running. I am going to go under because I don't care. It's Orlando. And there's actually a lot of depth in the NBA this year. I think with a lot of teams, they're still good enough to beat Orlando.
But Devin, it's the East. They're horrible.
It doesn't matter. They're still going to have to play teams in the West. It's not like they're only playing East teams.
I know.
Under.
Fine.
I'm going to go over. I think they're going to finish at 42. Okay, Philadelphia, 53.5.
See, I don't know about them yet. Everybody thinks they're automatically better with the moves that they made and everything like that. I'm not sure I believe that yet, but I'm still going to go over. I think they get to 55.
Yeah, they lost Jimmy Butler. They lost J.J. Redick. They picked up Al Horford. Josh Richardson. I think it'll help. I think that's a good team to start with. Philly did have a lot of midseason moves last year, but I don't know. They only won 51 wins last year. It just seems like they would have had more. But I'm gonna go.
Again, we just said in the East, and they're gonna be one of the top two teams. I just think,
Even in a top two team in the East. Oh gosh, no, I'm going to go over.
Yeah, because we just gave the Bucks the over of 56. I don't see them dropping below 55 wins. I just don't see it.
I'm going to go under because that's what you do with Ben Simmons. Barats.
Under the screen. Okay, anyway.
Very nice.
Well played.
All right, Toronto, 45.5.
I hate this. I'm going to go over, but just slightly, 46 maybe.
That's a big drop off. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under because I think they got to figure it out post Kawhi. You know, they have talent. They definitely have talent, but I think it's going to take a little time to figure it out.
Siakam might be that X factor for them.
Oh, he's a fantastic player, but I don't think he comes in and replaces Kawhi production.
No, I'm not saying he will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go under. They'll figure it out, though.
Alan, were you under or over?
I went over.
You went over? Okay, I'm going to go over, too. Although I don't feel good about it. I feel like I'm going over too much. All right. Washington, 28.5.
Wow. Oh, my God.
They had 32 wins last year.
Do we know if John Wall's going to be back?
Pretty sure he's going to miss the whole season.
Still. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that solidifies it for me. I'm going over.
I'm going to go over for the simple fact that we've already got a bunch of below 27 win teams there already.
I'm going to go under just because I feel like I need to go under somewhere, and Washington is just an absolute mess right now.
I think
they figure out a trade for Beal.
Okay, I'm under.
Okay.
I'm under. Switch it. You said a trade, and that was like my one thing.
You said, okay, so both of you got under. I got the over, so there you go. There's your asterisk. I had mine. Now yours. We're good.
Okay.
No.
All right, we're going to the West. This is interesting. Dallas is at 41.5.
Oh.
I guess they're all interesting.
They added some pieces, did they not?
Yes. And is Porzingis going to be healthy and ready to play?
He should be.
Should be. I'm going to go over. I think they're going to be one of those bottom four or five teams in the West playoff race, and they're going to be right around that 44 to 48 win territory.
Wait, what?
I said 44, but I don't think much more.
Wait, did you just say they're going to be a bottom four team in the West and they're going to win 44 games?
Well, no, I threw out numbers there. I didn't mean the numbers the way – forget it. Whatever. I said – he said 41.5. I say 42 or 43 for them. They're going to be on the fringe at the bottom is what I meant. Sorry, I bumbled. My bad. They're going to be a fringe team there at the bottom of the playoffs.
At the bottom of the playoff race. Okay. I'm just clarifying because that's scary.
John knew where I was going with that.
I knew you meant 8th seed. Did you say over or under?
I said over.
You going over?
What'd they win last season?
30-something, although they didn't have Porzingis. 33.
They didn't have Porzingis. Now they've added... And didn't who else did they add? I'm trying to think.
They added pieces. They added Boban. They added Seth Curry. You know, cosmetic pieces. But the main thing is you're going to have Luka in his second year, and you're going to have Porzingis back.
Yes.
All right. Let's go over.
I'll go under. I'm just not sure if Porzingis' health is going to be there. Okay, Denver 50.5.
Oh, crap. This is where we get tough. The top heavy section of the West. I'm going to go just over.
I'm going over as well.
Yeah, I'm going over. They're basically running it back, right?
Yes, they are. But
they're running it back, but they got Jeremy Grant.
And the upper echelon of the West just got better, too. Although the race is wide open, I mean, Denver is running it back, but you got other teams that got better. I don't think they're going to get up there in the mid 50s again like they did last year. But I still think they'll be over just a little bit.
Right. Okay. Golden State 47.5.
Thompson will be back probably mid season, February ish. I'm going to go over. I still think they can get to 50.
I'm going to go under. And it feels really weird to say that, but they lose Durant. Clay's going to be out. You don't know how D'Angelo's going to fit into the equation.
And they lose Iggy.
Yeah.
They don't have Iguodala.
Yeah, there's just so much shakeup. They have to slip a little bit, but I'm not ruling them out for a deep run in the playoffs. You know, that's the thing. They'll make the playoffs, that's for sure.
But they picked up. They picked up former Jazz man.
True.
AB.
Yeah, he will be very good playing about 8 minutes for them a night.
He'll play more than that because the Warriors, they don't have much of a bench.
I could see him getting quite a bit of run, especially at that position because that's, of course, Clay's spot. So, yeah, I see him running. He might even start. Yep, I think so.
He won't start.
Who are they going to start in his place?
They might start him at the three.
At the three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Their bench is that thin?
I'm looking at their roster. Alphonso McKinney, Glenn Robinson III, Omari Spellman, Jacob Evans, Jordan Poole. You know, these are the guys that they're picking from.
And I would already put Burks on the floor ahead of all of them.
Yeah, I think it's very likely Burks starts at the three.
I'm happily under then.
No, right. And
that's no disrespect to him, but he's not a three.
Yeah.
No.
What are you going to do? Put him up against LeBron James? Give me a break.
Right.
Okay. Houston, 53.5.
Over.
They got Westbrook. They won 53 last year. I'm going over on that one.
Hey, you guys have fun with that. I'm staying under.
Yeah, I don't want to put them over, but I just don't think the Westbrook Harden pairing is going to be a little better than the Harden Paul pairing.
Agreed.
See, I don't know because I think on paper CP and Harden were a perfect fit. And I don't know that Westbrook and James Harden are going to have the same chemistry like they did back when they were in OKC.
Granted, back then Harden was coming off the bench.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work. Those are two ball dominant players. You know, both are going to want the shot. Harden has the outside shot and the inside game. Westbrook doesn't have the outside shot,
but he has the up and down game. That he has that that downhill game where he just can run. I mean, I imagine they'll push some transition with him on the floor as often as they can.
All right.
Okay. Clippers, 55.5.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know.
You haven't even revealed where the Jazz are at yet either, and I still think they're going to both be right there next to each other. Over.
I'm going over. They're going to suffocate teams.
Yeah.
I'm going over. I think they're going to be the number one seed in the West.
Not by much, though.
Laker. Well, no. Everybody's going to be in the 50s.
Yeah.
Lakers, 51.5.
Dang it. Over, but again, just barely. I'm going to put them at 52.
I'm going to go just under. They're going to be much better than they were last season if LeBron James is healthy. It's also going to come down to if AD is healthy. He seems to have health concerns. But I don't know. The West is deep. Like I said, there's a lot of teams where it's going to be a coin flip every night, and we'll see what happens. I'm going to put them just under. I think they'll get to 50, though.
I'm going just under. They kept most of the old guys from that crappy bench last year while getting rid of the young guys. The health thing I just think is a big deal. We just don't know what the health is going to be with them. So I'm going to go a little bit under. And that's still going to be a massive improvement over where they finished last year. Last year they only had 37 wins.
And don't forget, and those who watch Twitter can laugh at this, they did add Danny Green. So are you going to pinch down on Danny Green, or are you going to take the pick and roll with AD and LeBron? Everybody watched that on Twitter a couple weeks back? Yeah.
No, I didn't.
It was Tony Jones was talking about it, and all of a sudden Laker fans came at him like, really? You're going to leave Danny Green open?
Oh,
have
yeah.
fun with that. I'm like, really? Come on, guys. You didn't read his tweet, for heaven's sake.
Well, they added Boogie. Gosh. Boogie and AD played well together.
Yeah.
You know, there's some familiarity there between them and Rondo.
I'll take my chances on a quick matchup out in the corner on that one, and I'd rather play Bron and AD straight up on the pick and roll. Sorry, guys, but yeah.
All right.
They also do have a new coach, I should point out.
Yes. Yes, they do.
No, LeBron's still there. Next.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Memphis, 27.5.
Under.
Under.
Under. Minnesota, 35.5.
Under.
Under.
I'm going to go over.
Wow.
You're a believer?
I know. No, I believe that they have the potential to be 10th.
All right. I mean, you were saying that you needed to go under on some.
I know. I've got under on a few. Okay. Pelicans, 37.5.
under.
I'm going to go under.
I don't want to.
I know. Ugh. I hate it. I'm that upset about Derek.
Let's see. They had 33 wins last year. Someone's got to lose. No, I'll go over.
All right. It's going to be a fun team.
Oklahoma City. It will be. Oklahoma City, 35 and a half.
Under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. And that Jeremy Grant move is a big part of why. I think Chris Paul is a great player. I think he can run a pick and roll all day with Steven Adams.
But he's on an island.
Yeah, I don't know that they have the depth.
They don't have any shooting either.
Yeah.
I'm going under.
Okay.
And I do think Chris Paul will get moved at some point.
Agreed.
Let's see. Phoenix, 26 and a half.
Oh, gosh.
26 and a half?
26 and a half. They have Rubio. Monty Williams is their coach.
Over.
I'm going over.
That's tough. That's right about where I think they're going to be.
Yep.
I'll go under because all these other teams are so good. Okay. Portland, 45 and a half.
Over.
Over.
Over. Sacramento, 36 and a half.
Oh, gosh. Over.
Under.
Over. Spurs, 43 and a half.
Over. That Texas fight between them and Dallas is going to be good.
I'm a pop believer. I'm going to go over.
I'll go under. Okay, Utah, 52 and a half.
Over.
How much money can I put on this? I'm going over. I'm going over.
Over. Although I do think it's probably going to be at like 54.
Yeah, 54, okay, 55. There we go. Yeah. Sweet.
So,
I'm trying to remember. I think when they did their odds that the Jazz were one of the three or four teams that they picked with the best chances of winning the finals too. I was trying to remember. I was reading somebody was throwing those numbers out there the other day and I don't remember what it was. But Vegas had some pretty good odds for the Jazz this year.
They did. I don't remember.
See. I don't remember. No. I just remember reading it.
No, I can get there. I can get there. Hang on. Oh, that's the wrong site. Let me go to where I was earlier. Okay. Basketball. Okay. Maybe I can't find it quick enough. Never mind. We can go over that next time.
Okay.
The last site I saw, which wasn't the Vegas site, but it had Jazz as fifth most likely to win the Western Conference, but sixth most likely to win the finals, which was odd. And it had Bucks and Philly ahead. So it was like one team was more likely than Jazz to win the West, but they're less likely than Jazz to win the finals. But I can't remember which team that was. All right. I got to get going.
All right.
Let's skip ahead to pop culture, maybe.
Did you have a Jazz quick hit you wanted to throw in real fast or no? Okay, let's do pop culture then.
Spider-Man Far From Home is the movie I saw. I enjoyed it. It's kind of a 3-star fluffy entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I really enjoy Tom Holland as Spider-Man. This one, you know, it was even lighter and bouncier and more of a comedy than Homecoming was. You know, I enjoyed it. It wasn't one of my favorites. I really liked seeing Mysterio on the big screen, and I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a good job. I wish they had given him a little bit more to do. The one monologue he had was just full of exposition. He had this 5-minute, here is my entire plan scene where he's explaining it to his coworkers. And then we all did this, and it was just kind of like, okay, whatever. But yeah, overall, I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't like it near as much as Homecoming. But I did like it, you know, and the visuals in this one were really killer too. I liked the whole reality thing that they threw at us, and boy, did they throw it at us. Like, that was a trip and a half, that section, that stretch in the movie where you were bouncing around real fast with Spider-Man in those realities. That was a trip and a half, and I really enjoyed it. So visually speaking, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. But yeah, it wasn't. Homecoming was my more favorite of the two. And even with all the Spider-Man movies we've had, I go back to the first two Sam Raimi ones are still my favorite.
Yeah. I think when the dust settles, I would not put this in the top half of the Marvel movies.
Right.
But it's not like the worst one either. But it's good. It's like, of all the 21 or 22 Marvel movies we have, I'd still give thumbs up to just about all of them. Right. I think I'd thumb down Iron Man 2 and maybe there's another one I'm forgetting. So it's still good. It's just you got to expect it at the level that it's at.
Oh, I'd thumb down a couple of those Hulk movies too. I wasn't big on them. The one that kicked off this whole MCU, that one with Hulk in it that was played by, I can't even think of his name.
Well, the Eric Bana one doesn't count, but Edward Norton one is considered official.
And I'm talking about the Edward Norton one. I thought that one was okay, but I didn't. It wasn't that great either. In fact, I almost gave that as much a thumbs down as I would, you know, a couple of these others that we were talking about. But no, this one was good, and you're right. It's a thumbs up, and I enjoyed it. And you know, the mid and post credit scenes too are very worth the time checking out. I also enjoyed the cameo they threw at the end of the film where an actor returns to reprise his role from so long ago.
That's true. I think one of my favorite things about this movie is I'm intrigued as a springboard on where the next one's going to go.
Oh yeah. They set this one up for number three perfectly. They did.
Yep.
And throwing in at the very end, that little twist that they did is perfect because now you're going to get interesting. You're going to get into the Spider-Man that I grew up on, that I enjoyed, where you're going to have the half of the city that's against him and half of the city that's for him. We're getting into that. All right. It's not fairy tales and Homecoming type stuff anymore. We're getting into the nitty gritty with Spider-Man now. So I'm excited about the next film. I am. So, all right. Well, that is this week's Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you all for joining us. As we always do, we request or ask that you give us a review on your favorite platform that you listen to, iTunes preferably. Leave us a review and let us know what you think of our show. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Jedi and Germs, and join our discussion each and every week. Thank you all so much. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.